At any moment, President Obama is expected to take the stage and accept his Nobel Peace Prize with is what is officially called a lecture. It's about 1:30 in Oslo. We will be covering the speech as soon as he takes the stage there. In the past half hour on The Takeaway, we spoke to Wangari Maathai. She's the 2004 Nobel Peace Prize winner, and she feels President Obama is a worthy recipient of the prize.
The Nobel Peace Prize is not necessarily a prize because you have achieved peace. It is because you are working towards peace.
Meeting with reporters in Oslo this morning, President Obama was asked what he'll do with any clout that the Peace Prize brings him.
The goal is not to win a popularity contest or to get an award, even one as esteemed as the Nobel Peace Prize. The goal has been to advance America's interests, to strengthen our economy at home, and to make ourselves a continuing force for good in the world.
We're going to have more on the president's acceptance speech as soon as he takes the lectern.
And those remarks were not part of the speech. No. They were just reacting in advance of the speech. He's expected to take the stage at any moment. Meanwhile, Defense Secretary Robert Gates landed in Baghdad this morning, arrived only hours after a group linked to Al-Qaeda claimed responsibility for car bombings 2 days ago that killed 127 people. Back home, AOL trades as a single company this morning. Once again, it was spun off from Time Warner. That deal is complete. The AOL stock set to officially begin trading at 9:30 this morning when Wall Street gets underway. Asian markets ended lower. European indices are up in afternoon trading. Futures are mixed but marginally positive as the Dow gets underway later this morning at 10,337. The S&P, where the AOL stock will trade, opens at 5 points below 1,100. And the NASDAQ begins trading at 2,183. Those are some of the stories we're following this morning.
Barack Obama has done a bunch of things to promote peace in the world.
If President Obama wants to earn the Nobel Peace Prize, he should stop sending troops to war.
I think it's a little premature to be giving out accolades.
I don't think President Obama needs to do anything. He's got the Nobel Peace Prize, and he deserves it.
My concern is that it kind of waters down the Nobel Peace Prize a little bit, I think. Feels sort of political.
That's a sampling of some of your reactions when they announced that President Barack Obama would win the Nobel Peace Prize. What do you think? Tell us, has your opinion has changed now? 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. The president is expected to speak in Oslo in just a few moments. He'll deliver his Nobel Peace Prize lecture as he accepts the prize, and we will, of course, carry that speech throughout this morning. We're joined now by Charlie Sennett, executive editor of the Global Post. Charlie, a war president, he is receiving the Peace Prize, but there's no getting away from the fact that 9 days ago he was at West Point announcing an escalation in the Afghanistan war, sending in 30,000 more American troops. Is he going to outline the reasoning why war is necessary to bring about peace?
I think he is. I mean, what we're hearing from everything the White House is telegraphing about this speech, he's going to go deep inside the idea of a just war. He's going to really try to look at this irony head on, that here is a president managing two wars, one of which he has sought to escalate, and at the same time receiving the Peace Prize. That irony, that complexity is going to be what he unpacks in this speech.
We're also joined by Richard Haass. He's the president of the Council on Foreign Relations. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
What do you think about this irony that was really the headline across every paper in the United States right now? Everyone is saying the wartime president accepts the Nobel Peace Prize. Can Barack Obama reconcile those two things?
I actually think that's the least of his problems. There's an old Latin saying, si vi pacem, para bellum. If you want peace, prepare for war. So the idea that there's something of a connection, but not necessarily an inconsistency between preparing for war, in this case carrying out war, yet being a peacemaker, that's an old concept. I think the bigger problem for Barack Obama is the sense that he is, if you will, more still promise than delivery. And this reinforces the perception that he's more the orator-in-chief, if you will, rather than the president. I think those are the bigger problems, and perhaps even the fact that he's there in Oslo rather than focusing on the American economy. I actually think those are his bigger issues domestically rather than the irony or the tension between being a war president and accepting the Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, Richard, to that point, we've been asking our listeners all morning what they think he needs to do to deserve the prize. Does he need to end these war in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Well, if that's the criteria, I'm afraid he may never get there. If I were in the predicting business, I would think U.S. troops are going to be in Iraq and Afghanistan for some time. It's probably beyond the power of the United States to say when either of these conflicts is going to end. Only the local people in these two countries can decide when these wars are going to end. I think it's going to be more the totality of American foreign policy, what he can do, say, vis-a-vis the spread of nuclear weapons or climate change or terrorism or what have you.
Well, I'd love to be, inside Barack Obama's mind right now. He's listening to Chopin being played by pianist Lang Lang at Oslo City Hall, wondering how his speech is going to receive. As the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, Richard, it seems to me, I was thinking about this morning, I wonder what you would think. This speech, this lecture may be, and we'll see what happens in the 21st century, the most revisited speech in terms of its predictive qualities, in terms of what's going to transpire from here on out of any Nobel Peace Prize lecture really since, say, the Vietnam era.
That's probably so, only because Barack Obama is essentially done with one of either 4 or 8 years as the American president. He is going to ultimately be making an awful lot of history, and this speech becomes something of a benchmark against what a lot of history and a lot of his performance is going to be measured. So I think you're exactly right there.
Richard, does this not call into question our definition of peace by awarding Barack Obama, a man who is president of a country that's involved in these two wars overseas? Does it not call into question, ask us to redefine what peace is?
Well, I never thought this war, this prize rather, was there to define what peace is. Historically, the Nobel Prize has both been for accomplishment as well as for aspiration. In some cases, it's been to reinforce or strengthen certain people who were involved in certain causes that the prize committee thought were worthy of support, be it human rights activists or peace activists or whatever. I think, to take your larger point, though, what we're talking about is not simply the absence of war, but the creation of conditions in and around the world that are orderly, where hopefully there's a modicum of not just stability, but also justice. And so issues like Afghanistan and Iraq are, how would I put it, they're inconsistent in the narrow sense, but in the larger sense, if U.S. policy in both of those situations creates lasting situations of stability, then it's not in any way inconsistent with either the spirit or the letter of this prize.
Okay. That's Richard Haass, the president of the Council on Foreign Relations. Charlie Sennett, you have reporters for the Global Post all over the world. Are they getting a sense from people that there is still a sense, a vision of hope from Barack Obama that this Peace Prize represents?
I think there is. I mean, I think every corner of the world that we cover, Africa or Asia or Latin America, you hear a sense that as soon as President Obama was sworn into office, there was a change in the world because America was approaching the world in a different way. He was very articulate at his inauguration in making that speech and saying that he wanted to hit the reset button, that after 8 years of President Bush, in which there was a very different sense of not listening to the world, not hearing the world, that this was a presidency that would engage with the world. And I think there is still great hope in that direction. That said, there are places where there's a lot of questioning of that. One of them would definitely be Pakistan. Another one would be Iran. Mm-hmm. I think there are countries that are still questioning whether that promise will come to fruition.
Okay, that's Charlie Sennett, executive editor of the Global Post.
And Richard Haass, president of the Council on Foreign Relations. Both of them are going to stay with us through the speech. The people were on their feet. There wasn't a whole lot of sense of irony among the people who were clapping as Barack Obama was formally presented the Nobel Peace Prize. He's likely to speak in the next few minutes, and we'll have all that for you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.